Lekutah Sichas Chelek Yud, Parsha Vayigash, the first Sicha. Alapasek Vayipul Atzavrei Binyamin Ochi Vayevk. When Yosef and Binyamin met up finally, so the Pasek says, and he, Yosef, fell upon the neck of his brother, of Binyamin his brother, and he cried. Binyamin Bocha Al Tzavarav, and Binyamin cried on his neck. So the Gemara says in regards to this, Bacha Yosef al Shnei Mikdashim, that Yosef cried over the two Batei Mikdash, Ve'himeru Mozim Batei Savarei Loshen Rabim, as can be understood from the word Savarei, that he fell on the Savarei, the next, so to speak, in a multiple, because it refers to the two Batei Mikdashim, Shasadim Liyes, that would eventually be in this in the part of Eretz Yisrael which belonged to Binyamin. Yerushalayim, the Har HaBayis, was in the part of Binyamin. Basidim lecharib, and that they would eventually be destroyed. So Yosef was crying over those two Beis Hamikdash. Ubinyamin bachal mishkan shiloi, and Binyamin cried over the mishkan shiloi shasadlis bechalkes shel Yosef, which was in the section of Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. But Asid Lecharevin would also eventually be destroyed. So they each cried over the Beis HaMikdash that his brother, or one or two, that the brother's share in Eretz Yisrael would have and would be destroyed. Vine Atam Shetzavare Meramez LeBeis HaMikdash. What's the reason that the neck signifies the Beis HaMikdash? What's the connection between the Beis HaMikdash and the neck? Mevur B'medrash Al-Apasik Amigdal David Tzavarecha. The Medrash says on the Pasuk, like the tower of David is your neck. Just like the neck is at the height of the person, on the upper section of the person, so the Beis HaMikdash is at the height of the world, the high point of the world. However, when it says here at the height of the world, Ein pirusha shehu oyle begavish al kol ha'olam. It doesn't mean that the Beis HaMikdash is at the very highest point of the whole world. Elik at the pirush v'gemara, but rather it's as the Gemara says al pasuk bank safe of shochein, as the Gemara says on the pasuk, and between his shoulders does he dwell, about Yosef. Shebeis HaMikdash nomach esrim b'sholosh ama me'ein itam. That the Beis HaMikdash was 23 amma lower than the spring of Itam. Kitzavar shel adam shu begavish shel guf, just like the neck of a person that is at the higher regions of the body. Elushu nomach mat meresh, but it's not at the very highest, but it's lower than the head. So also the Beis HaMikdash is at the high point of the world, but it's not the highest. The spring of Itam was even higher. So that's why there is a correlation between the neck and the Beis HaMikdash. Elushu nomach ba'adar abe amri nachse be'purtim shum nachsiv ben seif shachin. They said that it's a little bit lower because it's as it says in the pasuk, between his shoulders does he dwell. Ein loch no b'sher yesim ikseifav. There is nothing more beautiful in the ox, in the shape of an ox, than his shoulders. That's the strong point. That is where the beauty or the mightiness of the ox is expressed. Haynu de begavay muvane b'toich gavay shalaylam. In other words, in this case, begavay shalaylam at the height of the world means it's in the within the high point of the world, but not the apex, not the very highest point. Ulachayre mawa yisrin vayoyfi b'zeh she'ena b'tachos ha'goyva. What's so outstanding, what's so special about saying something is not at the high point of the world? What makes that a quality, not being at the very highest point? Because either way, im ein ma'ila b'goyva, if there is no quality in being the highest, ma mashmeinu b'zeh she'beis HaMikdash nosim b'gavad sh'loylam, then what is the phrase, the Beis HaMikdash is at the high point of the world, what does it mean if height, the high point doesn't mean anything? Why does he describe the Beis HaMikdash that way if it's not really a quality? And if the high point is a quality, as it would seem from this phrase, that it praises, it sort of speaks up the qualities of the Beis HaMikdash as being at the high point. So then it seems that it is a quality. Hare kosu gavayayay. So then you would imagine that the higher it is, yofu mailuhu uluyu yaser, then it would be more beautiful or more of a quality that it's at the very highest point. What then is the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was lower than the highest point by 23 amas? So this can be understood by first explaining what is the neck. The neck's function is that it is the connection between the head and the body. Because we know that the life force, generally the life force, is contained in the head, in the brain, in the head. And bringing the life force down from the head to the rest of the body, it comes through the windpipe, the trachea, veishet, the esophagus, the food pipe, viridin, and the veins and arteries in the neck, shebagorim, which are in the neck. Those are the three ways in which things go from the head region to the rest of the body. V'cheinu gam b'amshachas ha-seichel ma'amoyach shebarash, and so also, seichel, that comes from the intellect, that comes from the brain and the head, is also drawn down, has to go down. This, that the seichel, at least the outer dimension of the seichel, is drawn down to the heart, meaning to say from to the emotions, and from there it flows to the rest of the body, which means to maise, let's say, to act upon those emotions and that seichel. And this is accomplished through flowing through the narrowness of the neck, which separates between the head and the body, and in other words, that the neck is the channel by which the seichel flows down to the rest of the body. According to this description, there is a certain quality that the neck has even over the head. Dafka hatzaver gorins, dafka the neck, maybe lepeilus tachlusa shel harosh, is able to actualize, allow the actualization of the head, what the head represents. It's only through the neck that it's able to be drawn down to the body, which is what gives the head meaning, that it has a function in the body. Number one, shekol eivarim yikabel chadyusam meharosh. First of all, that the rest of the body should receive their chayas from the head, and shekut beish and kulim yisnagu al piyaseichel shuberosh, that they should all conduct themselves according to the dictates of the intellect found in the head. And although it's true that if you were to take the two and put them next to each other, the head as opposed to the neck, the qualities of the head are of course on a much higher level than the qualities of the neck, which is of course the reason why the head sits up over the neck, even physically. This quality that the head has, that it's on a higher level than the neck, is only in, if you were to measure levels, the level of the head is on a higher level. But in regards to what is the purpose of having a head and what is its mission, yesh yisrin maila b'tzava, there is even a greater quality to the neck. The dafkim ipnei shehu nomach b'madrega, and specifically for that reason, that it's on a lower level than the head, shehu memutza, because therefore the neck can become the intermediary, the channel through which the head's influence can flow to the body. And it's therefore through the neck, because it sits lower than the head, that is able to be the channel that will bring the purpose and the mission of the head to the rest of the body. In a similar way, we can understand about the Beis HaMikdash as well. Hanimshul Litzavar, which has, we know, is the neck is the muscle for the Beis Hamikdash. Sheikar Malosei Benachse Beipurtem or Mireish Gavai, that their main purpose of the Beis Hamikdash being put a little bit lower from the very very height of the world. That's the mile. The hini yonish lo Beis Hamikdash. What is the function? What is the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash? That through the Beis Hamikdash should the light, the godly light, be able to illuminate the rest of the world, all the way down to the area in the world, the section of the world, the part of the world which is the darkest place, the lowest place. And that's why the Beis Hamikdash was in the higher regions, in the upper regions of the world, but not at the very height of the world, which would put it aloof from the world, removed from the world. We don't want that. Because if it's at the very height, meaning slightly removed, then you can, the Beis Hamikdash would not be able to illuminate the world. Ella, so rather, what do we go for? Nachas Purta, that it's a little bit lower. Hayne b'shaychas v'kirav le'olam. In other words, has some connection and a certain closeness to the world. B'chtei lo'irei, in order to be able to illuminate the world, to have its influence on the world. The ketzaber adam, like the neck of the person, shaydeze shunamach mina hisreimimus shalareish, that because the neck is lower than the very highest point, like the head, rather it is attached to the body, it's close to the body. That's why the neck can be the intermediary between the head, the brain, and the rest of the body, and connects the head to the body. And the same is true also for the personal Beis Hamikdash within every single Jew. When the Nefesh HaLakish, which represents the Beis Hamikdash, is not removed and aloof from the small world, which is the rest of the person, but rather gets involved and integrates with the rest of the body, in order to be able to elevate and uplift and purify the Nefesh HaBahamis, as Gufay, also as the body, as Chalke Be'olam, and the rest of the section of the world that is the mission of that person. Through this, the entire person becomes a dwelling place and a holy place for Hashem. Alpize Yuvan. Based on this, we can understand Yosef Nafal al Tzavari kibshudishol binyamin achib. Why Yosef, when he was hugging his brother, it's described as falling upon his neck, the literal neck of Binyamin, his brother, by Yaif, and he cried, Binyamin boch al Tzavari, Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. L'chayir, madua bochu ish al Tzavari achib v'loy al reish achib. Why did they cry upon the neck of their brother? Why didn't they cry on the head of the brother? The head, of course, is the center of the person. That is the most important part of the person. If you're going to cry over your brother, it should be on his most central and important part of him. Why is it described as crying over his neck? The ultimate purpose of a Yid is, as our sages tell us, I was not created for any other purpose other than to serve my master. So in other words, to serve and to fulfill the intent of the of our master, of the one who created us, for the reason that he created me and why he created the entire creation, which is liyas leis diriv tachtayim, that Hashem should have a dwelling place in the lower world. And this mission and this purpose depends on the Aveda of a Yitzhar. Because we know that everything is created by Hashem, everything comes about through Hashem, except for a person's own fear of God. In other words, his moral behavior. And therefore, that's completely up to me and my Aveda. The fear of Hashem is the very beginning, the foundation of all Aveda. That's where it starts, and it can grow from there to Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, and so on. So the purpose is Shehem Yasadir Leiz Barav Tachtainim, that the person through his Aveda should create a place for Hashem in this world. And this is accomplished through each Jew refining and elevating his body and his nefesh bahamis and his share in the world, as we talked before. And therefore, this really is the most important part of the person, even in comparison to the head. It's the neck which is the most important part of the person. The neck of the person, because it's through the neck, that's how the person is able to fulfill the mission for which he was created. Which explains why Yosef and Binyamin cried over the neck of their brother, not in the head. Number one, first of all, to cry over the head of a Yid, which means over the Nefesh HaLakiz, on the Neshama, there's nothing to cry. Why? Nishmas Yisrael, gam b'shashachet, ha'yisub ha'amni ita yizbarech, because the Neshama of the Jew, even when a Jew sins, the neshama remains faithful to Hashem, and therefore the neshama never falls in its level. So there's nothing to cry over the neshama. Beis, tachlisa shel ben Yisrael, eina bereisha, the ultimate purpose of a yid is not the head, ba'avedasa shel neshama la'atzma, meaning to say that the neshama itself also has a certain aveda with its own growth and its own development, but that's not the real purpose of a yid coming down to the world. Elav tzavari, the real purpose is the neck. Lifel begufa, meaning to say that the nefesh lekis, the godly soul, should have its influence on the rest of the body, and the benefesh bahamis of achol kabeilim, and the animal soul, and the section in the world that he has to elevate. So therefore, the neck, for those two reasons, the place to cry is over the other one's neck and not over his head. Gimu. Amnon Sarach Lahavin, however, we have to understand. Lama Bacha Yosef Ala Mikdasha is Bechalkel Shubin Yamin. Why is it that Yosef cried over the two Beitei Mikdash, which will be in the section of Binyamin? Well, Binyamin Bacha Ala Mishkan Bechalkel Shul Yosef, and Binyamin cried over Yosef's Beis HaMikdash that would be destroyed, the Mishkan that would be destroyed. L'chayra Adarabah. You would think that it would be the opposite. Each one should be crying over the churban of the Beis Hamikdash, which is in his own share, in his own section of Eretz Yisrael. Because a person is closer to himself, so the tragedy that happens in his own world is more of a reason to cry. And so much this klal, this rule that a person is closer to himself, is a fundamental rule to the degree that even in regards to mitzvahs avos Yisrael, the gam lefi amavur v'chsidus v'goydel echusav v'kamusa shel avazu, and even as we see avos Yisrael through the lens of chsidus, which is on a much higher level, we understand it much more deeply and so on, much more importantly. Even from that perspective, you have to love your fellow like yourself, which means like yourself, but not literally as yourself. But you can't reach the level of loving another Jew in the same exact way as you love yourself, only similar to the way you love yourself. As is brought in Tanya and Geras Hakadosh, by Yisai Geras Atzma Shabbai Meirach At Kama Yesh La'Arbis B'Matan Stoka Shemidus Achesed. in the very same letter in which the Alter Rebbe is playing up the importance of giving tzedakah, and that is midas hachesed and so on. Asher b'shoh she'em b'yodei elikit en echad shalmayim, over there he says, in that same letter, he says, however, if a person only has one cruse of water, one bottle of water, hinechayecha kaidmin, your life comes first. So in other words, that even in chassidus, it's Avos Yisrael is understood as being a person can only reach a certain level of Avos Yisrael and his own life comes first. So therefore, by that rule, you would think that each person's Beis HaMikdash should be more important to him than the next person's. And therefore, the crying of Yosef should have been over the Beis HaMikdash in his Mishkan, in his section of Eretz Yisrael, would be destroyed. And Binyamin should have been crying on his two Beis HaMikdash, which were destroyed in his own, in his section. And also we have to understand where Yosef came and he met, when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim and he met up with Yosef after 22 years. So it says there Yosef fell on upon the neck of Yaakov and he cried on Yaakov's neck. Isa b'Zayir, in regards to this it says in Zayir, that Yosef cried over the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed, will be destroyed. And that the Zohar explains that's why the Pasuk says that he cried more on the neck of Yaakov. What does he mean by more? That in addition to crying over his Beis HaMikdash, which was the Al Tzavarov, he also cried more in addition to that, and that was on the final golus, our golus, that he cried for that too. But the initial one is on the neck of was his own Beis HaMikdash. So we have to ask about that. Madua rak Yosef bochal churban Beis HaMikdash v'lo Yaakov. Why is it only described as Yosef crying, and it doesn't say that Yaakov cried on his base, on the Beis HaMikdash? And Rashi answers this question in the name of our sages, that at that time when Yosef, when Yosef and Yaakov met, Yaakov was in the middle of reading Shema. But according to the Zohar, this shouldn't be an answer, that he was in the middle of reading Shema, because al pi pirush hakosav vayipul atzavarov kipshutai. According to the simple meaning of Ayipel Atzavrav, and he cried, that the crying was not because of the Churban, and the reason that it doesn't say in the Torah that Yaakov returned that emotional scene, that he also fell upon Yosef's neck and he kissed Yosef, it doesn't say that. Why? As Rashi says, the simple reason is because he was in the middle of reading Shema, so he couldn't interrupt. This brings out the great high level of Avodah of Yaakov, that Gamba Eish Shiroz B'nei B'Pam Rishonu La'achrev Shirabiz B'Shonim Choshev Kenene B'Chayim, that even though this is the very first time that he sees his beloved son after so many years in which he thought that he had died, still it's such an emotional meeting, but he's in the middle of reading Shema, so his Avodah demands that he does not interrupt Shema even for such a big simcha. And even more so, simcha that you would imagine that if Yaakov is insisting on continuing to read the Shema, it means that he was focused on the Shema, not that he was only reading it perfunctionally because he's distracted by Yosef. No, if he's reading Shema, it means he's reading it with the proper Kavana, as Kriya Shema needs proper Kavana, at least for the first Pasuk, the Rebbe writes in parentheses. But it means that Yaakov was on such a high level that not only did he not interrupt, but he still had the wherewithal to be able to have the proper focus that one needs to reach Shema. Avalafi Pirush HaZoyar, but according to the Zoyar, Eich Efsharish Yaakov Avinu Loinus Ragazul Leinitr Dalyechur Beis HaMikdash. So that is understood that he wasn't distracted by meeting his son for the first time. But when the crying is happening over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, isn't that enough to distract Yaakov and that he should cry? Should interrupt Kriyashma? And even though the crying is going on about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, still Yaakov is able to continue reading Shema and with the proper Kavana? That leaves a question. So the explanation is, when we talk about crying over worldly matters, what is the need? Why does somebody cry? What does crying do for anyone? It makes it easier. It takes a load off, as they say, off the person crying. As you see, when a person cries over something that's bothering him, through crying, you're not going to accomplish anything in fixing the matter that is a problem. Crying doesn't help anything. It doesn't fix anything. Rather, the crying only causes that you feel at ease, you feel more at ease. Balderch Mashukosov, and similar to what it says in Tilim, Hoysili Dimosi Lechem, David HaMelech says, my tears were like bread. In other words, the tears, the crying, somehow helped him, nourished him. Because crying does that, it makes a person feel better. Mizemovam, from this we understand, Asha Kishi Yesh Biyodai, Lusakinus Einyan. So therefore, if a person has the ability to actually fix the problem that is troubling him, Hare Adarabe, if that were the case, that you're able to fix it, it would be the contrary. Eimakam lagia ruchay bebechia. There would be no purpose to cry and therefore calm yourself through crying. Elitzaruchu lasu l'saken. At that time, you should rather do something that you can do to fix the problem. Crying is only going to distract you from fixing the problem. It'll make you feel better, but the problem will not be fixed. So therefore, when you have the opportunity to fix it, rather than cry, you should be focused on fixing. When you see the churban of the Beis HaMikdash of somebody else, when it's somebody else's Beis HaMikdash, you can participate and be empathetic and therefore cry over their difficulty. Because the main responsibility and the main ability of the fixing of that Beis HaMikdash, the other person's Beis HaMikdash, is of course that person's responsibility and is within their ability to fix it, not yours. So therefore, what's left for you to do? You can help that person. You can encourage that person. Al yidei sheyachichi b'darkenayim, by perhaps telling him what's wrong and how he can fix it, of course, in a pleasant way. Or beis al yidei she'eir racham yispal lolav, or by trying to awaken Hashem's mercy on that person and to daven for him. Avol abitul b'poyel shalachatoyim. So in other words, you can help. You can do something to help. However, the actual fixing of a person's sins, which is the cause why that person's Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that's totally dependent on your friend, because he has the free choice to be able to do what he should do or not do what he should do, and therefore it's totally up to him, and there's nothing that you could do about that. You can only help in the two ways, that like by guiding him to the right direction or being empathetic with him, but he has to do it. And when you have done everything that you could do to help him, and after everything that you've done that you could to help him, you see that the Beis HaMikdash is still in destruction, in destruction. Then, of course, that would bring you to tears. Then you would cry because you've done everything that you could. It's up to the person to do the work. You can only empathize. You can only help out and so on. But when you see that it hasn't helped, it brings you to cry. But when a person sees his own Beis HaMikdash destroyed, meaning his own personal Beis HaMikdash, the area that he can do something about, azai oz ein loy listapek ba'anocho bepchia, it should never be enough that he sighs over the difficult situation or cries over the difficult situation. Kiim la'ishtadu l'sakana l'idnus v'chadosh, rather what he should be focused on is to build it, rebuild it, to fix whatever he can, to build whatever he can, al yidei shiyavet avidasei, by doing his avidei lovias agula paratus ben afshi, to bring personal redemption within his soul, and therefore to rebuild his world, his Beis HaMikdash. So a person over his own Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be crying, he should be working. Levad be'im abechiyah hidemoyah shol tshuva. Of course, there's an exception to that. If a person is crying out of tshuva, and a part of tshuva could be crying, so then the crying in itself is part of the fixing process, because tshuva is part of the fixing process and the building process. Commission Nemar, as the pasuk says, place my tears in your flask, meaning that Hashem stores the tears of the Yidden, because that is a chelik of the avodah. But if it's not about tshuva, it's just about ruining the Beis HaMikdash, so then crying can actually weaken a person's avodah in building his rebuilding his Beis HaMikdash. But Amr Beliba, because he says to himself, I feel better, I cried over the situation, and therefore, in a certain sense, you feel fulfilled and you've done enough. At least for today. For now, I've done enough. So therefore, it could interfere with the actual aveda of rebuilding. And therefore, when Yosef and Binyamin cried, it was over the Beis HaMikdash in the other person's section of Eretz Yisrael, not his own. And Yaakov himself didn't cry at all over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, ki'im rather, ha'yukaydash shema. He was busy reading Shema, ki Yaakov avim shel kol bnei Yisrael, because Yaakov represents, he is the father of all Yidden. V'lechein hein ha-mishkan v'hein beis ha-migdash hein v'chelkei, and therefore both the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash are in his share of Eretz Yisrael, because all the brothers are his sons. So all the whole Eretz Yisrael is in his share. V'lechein osak b'tikun u'binyan beis ha-migdash, and therefore he had nobody to cry over. The other person's Beis HaMikdash is really his Beis HaMikdash, because every part of Eretz Yisrael is him, and therefore he had no time to cry. He had no business crying. He only had to be busy reading Shema in order to try and fix the problem. Sharei, because what does Kriya Shema have to do with fixing the problem? Sharei inyan Beis HaMikdash hu shiyiyah bayis mocha l'karbonos. We know that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is a place where you bring karbanos. V'chol ha'kira krishma hareze ki'ilu hikriv oilo v'zevach. And the one who reads Kriya Shema, it's as if he brought a karban oilo or other types of karbanos. Ki ikir inyan ha'karbanu, because what is the real purpose of a karban? The main purpose of a karban is adam ki yakir mikem karban l'Hashem, to bring a karban of yourself, that you should be the karban. Kriya Shema o Mesiras Nefesh Sheba, which is found in Kriya Shema and the Mesiras Nefesh that is expressed in Kriya Shema. V'after Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. In other words, limser nafshe be'echad, to dedicate his very life to Hashem. And when you say echad b'chol nafshecha, afilin doit lefs nafshecha, you have to love Hashem even with your whole soul, meaning even if he's taking your life, chas v'shalom. So therefore, that is the inyan of carbon. Shema was Yaakov's way of bringing the carbon, every Yid's way of bringing the carbon. And since the ikra inyan of Beis HaMikdash is the carbon, so therefore he was busy doing the work of the Beis HaMikdash rather than crying over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's his Beis HaMikdash. It's not in the other one's section, as Binyamin and Yosef were able to cry over the other person's Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ein lahakshes, and you shouldn't ask the question, kivin shero beruach hakodesh, since they saw, they were able to see, Yosef and Binyamin were able to see with Ruach HaKodesh HaMishkan HaMikdash HaSidim L'chorev that it was going to be destroyed. So therefore they realized that this was already a decree which Hashem had decided. But what could you do then? It's something that's going to happen. It has to happen. What are you going to do? Haloi Kvar Omer Chazal, because our sages said, because the reason that you could do something is because Chachamim say that even if there's a sharp-edged sword on a person's neck, in other words, it's moments away from Chas V'Shalom, he shouldn't stop praying. In other words, that there is a possibility to change it. Even after, in other words, even after the Hashem has already decided, you're able to tear the gzardin, as we know through Amin Yeshmei Rabbah, or different ways in which you're able to rend the gzardin and do away with the gzardin. So there is a way to turn a gzardin back into a good thing. As we see by the King Chizkiah, Yishaya Masalai Hanavua Shenigzral Chizkiah Shiyamos, the Navi gave him a prophecy. In other words, a prophecy means it's the word of Hashem has decided already that he was going to die. Amalei Chizkiah Yishaya. So Chizkiah said to Yishaya, Kalei Navu Oscha B'tzei, complete, finish your prophecy and leave. And then what did he do? Vayasef panav lakir, he turned his face to the wall, vayispalel Hashem, and he prayed to Hashem. Utfilosei ha'ila, and his prayer helped. Shamayti es tfiloschas, Hashem said, I have heard your prayer. Hasifu lechomesh eser shana al shnei tzchayv, and they added 15 years to his life. Chomesh eser shnei tzchayim kipshutam. When we say 15 years, it's not some theoretical thing or spiritual thing. It means literally 15 years that he lived in Gam Ba'olam Hazeh, even in this world. In other words, even after the Navi Yeshaya came to him and told him that it's been decided you're going to die, he turned to the wall and he prayed, and he was able to remove that Gzar Din, and he lived another 15 years. So certainly that a person can do that too. Vav Amr Chazal, our sages tell us, Kol der she'ein nivne Beis HaMikdash b'yamav, any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt during that generation, Ma'ilim olav, it is considered as if, ki'ilu huchrivei, as if that generation destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. If you haven't rebuilt it, it's as if you destroyed it. And the same could be said about each individual as well, not just about the generation as a whole. The reason that the Beis HaMikdash of the world, the literal Beis HaMikdash, was not yet rebuilt is because this person hasn't rebuilt his own personal Beis HaMikdash. If this person's individual Beis HaMikdash, through his personal Avodah, would have been in its perfection, then Mashiach would have already come and rebuilt the general Beis HaMikdash. So therefore each person has to take responsibility that if the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt, it's because he personally didn't rebuild his own Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's as if he destroyed his own Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's as if he destroyed the big Beis HaMikdash. And a meditation of this, the thinking about this is not, the purpose of is not to bring you to cry or to bring you to sigh over the terrible situation. The meditation is supposed to bring you to do something. Hagaula HaProt is to bring about your own personal redemption, Ubinya Beis HaMikdash V'Nafshi, and therefore the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in your own soul. V'Yidei Zeh Yimar V'Yamshech as Hagaula HaKlolis. Through this you will speed up and draw down the general Geula for all Yidin, Ubinya Beis HaMikdash B'Mkeimei, and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the literal Beis HaMikdash, in its place, Haidei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Karav Mamesh, through Mashiach speedily in our days.